So again, welcome back. This is number five in our series of called It's All in the Mind, talking about strongholds and that whom the Son sets free is
free.
But why is it that we don't walk free? Why is it that we get stuck? Why is it that it seems like the littlest of little things that someone could come by could irritate us and throw our day off? Right? So God wants us to understand His Word, and we're going to unpack. This is kind of the general part I'm kind of bringing to kind of stir our hearts and prepare us for the fall, and that as we start to walk through scripturally, how do we keep our bags light and free? Right? If you're going to go to the beach, going down to the beach to pack, do you need to pack a parka? You know, do you need to pack snow pants? Do you need to pack extra blankets? Right? All these type of things. But yet, you know, in our life, we're packing all of these things because just in case of a rainy day or just in case someone does this in my life or this happens again, I need this here and that to protect me from all of these things. Yet Jesus says, I'm your defender. And that anything you need to pack is one thing. Pack Jesus in your bag. And He will protect, He will guide, He will give you wisdom. He says, when you lack something, all you have to do is ask and He'll give the wisdom. See, we put our trust and our faith so much into the people and the things around us, and then we've been hurt, and then we build up defensiveness, and we move in that way. So if you flip the slide for me here, Caden. We're talking about demolishing the spiritual strongholds. It's time to take the stand of faith, and that what you started in the Spirit, right? Born again of the Spirit is only by Holy Spirit. You didn't find Jesus. He revealed Himself to you and you opened your heart to Him. Amen? So what you start in the Spirit, you can only keep in the Spirit. It's not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Amen? So we've got to stir that faith back up in us again. Stop being blinded by the physical. Step up knowing our fight's not against flesh and blood. And we step forward so we can demolish the strongholds that are trying to keep us down. Jesus says that I've been anointed to preach the good news. Right? Bind up the broken heart. Set the captive free. Release the prisoner. And declare the year of the Lord's favor. Right? He's come to do that. And if He came to do that, guess what? You're supposed to be coming to. And I'm supposed to come to. The same thing. But if we're all bound up, it's pretty hard for us to release freedom. So God wants us to be free. He wants us to be whole. Caden, next slide. And that's so, attitude check. We first, part one, we talked about this. You can go back onto the website under rocklift.org, look for sermons, and you can find number one was attitude check. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. And that is your attitude the same as His. If it isn't, then guess who needs to adjust? Is it Jesus? Help me out here. No, it's you and me, right? We don't bend the Word of God to us, although many people in society are doing that. And I would echo back to them from Dr. Phil, how's that working for you? It's not. It's not working. It's bringing more confusion and problems and everything else. Why? Because it lacks any power now because we're trying to make it fit our lives and what we want. It's not how God works. But we are to bend everything of our life to His Word and to Him. So first week was attitude check. Second, you know, on that part is don't believe everything you think. Thoughts are just thoughts. This is a power mega point that I was throwing out there. Is listen to me. Not every thought that comes in your head is from you. The enemy, he's poking thoughts at us all the time. And he pokes a thought in your head and then he runs around. He puts it in the back of your head. He runs around the front. I can't believe you. You're a dirty, rotten person. I can't believe you call yourself a Christian and you had that thought. And yet all the way around, it was him poking that thought into your head, trying to get you distracted. That's why the Bible says, take captive every thought and bring it submission to the Word of God, to Christ. Every thought. Okay, is this a thought that Jesus would think? Is this something He would want me to do? Is this something He would say? No. Does it line up to Scripture? No. Okay, I don't want it. Thank you very much. And you just drop it right there. Don't play with it. How many know you start playing with it, and chances are it's going to get stickier and stickier, and then you're going to have a hard time letting go of that thought, that word of death or that curse that the enemy throws at it and sugarcoats it. Next slide. We talked about in Philippians 2:5, it says that you have the mind of Christ. So for anyone here today and you're struggling with your thoughts and your mind and you're like, it's just my lot in life and it's just really hard. No, it isn't. You have the mind of Christ. Some has it a little easier. Some have it a little harder because their physical bodies are not working in its unison with them. Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. It's not working in unison, but you do have the mind of Christ. You can take captive those thoughts. You can begin to speak life and think life. You can begin to declare blessing and not curses. You can because you have the mind of Christ. Do we believe the Word of God or not? This is the Word of God speaking into our life. We have to renew our mind. No longer to the pattern of this world. Don't conform to that. He'll transform you. He'll change all your weakness. He'll come in there and he says, you know what? My grace is sufficient for you. Trust in me. When you are weak, don't worry about it. I might not give you everything so that you never have to rely on me again, but I promise you, I'm going to be right there beside you and I'm going to carry you every second that you'll never have to face anything alone. And I don't know about you, the last time I looked to God, he's got everything. So there's absolutely nothing I need when I stand next to him. Amen? Next slide. Then we talked about strategic intercession. Really, it involves a whole lot more than in fighting battles than just saying a few words in the air. Some of us, we've been lulled into a place that, oh, we pray, but it has no connection to our heart. It's more of a mind thing that we're just repeating words because that's what we're told to do. If we're really honest here, because if we were really praying up and really effective, we would see a whole lot more changes, amen? Worst attended meeting in the church is prayer meetings, right? Why? Because we've lulled ourselves into a place that we actually believe that just saying a few words in the air is enough, but that's not what God's called you to. That's not the power and authority that he's given to you that you can step out in. You might look, be frail and small, but you are powerful in the kingdom of God. That you can pull down every stronghold of the enemy. That no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That there's an authority that you can declare and you can speak. And sometimes things are not going to move in front of you. And you just keep hitting. You're like, why? And God's saying, hey, this isn't moving unless you're going to get serious here. And you're going to come into prayer and fast. You're going to come and grab a hold of a brother and sister. And you're going to partner with them so that you can lock in together. And you can put your shoulder to this. And you can watch me move it for you. There's just something that happens with spiritual intercession, not just saying words in the air, prayer covering, unity, submission to authority, humility, the need for objectivity and boldness, prayer walking, prophetic action, authority of Scripture, prevailing intercession. There's something powerful that takes place, and we've lost that. We've lost it. In this generation, and that we've lost something. Many in this room, you've been a part of it before, but you're not now. Why? What cut in on you? What stopped you? And then I shared a while ago about a lady. She was just coming around the 70s in one of the churches I pastored, and she was crying really, really like crocodile tears, saying, Pastor, and that I can no longer pray anymore. You know, I'm young, I'm like 21 at the time, and I'm thinking to myself, what on earth do you mean you can't pray? Like, hello? And so I paused to listen to her, and she begins tears in her eyes and catching, trying to grab her voice. She says, I can't pray anymore because I can't kneel down. My knees are so bad. They've got so bad now that I can't pray anymore. And I feel so bad because my heart longs to talk to God. And I love to press in and pray through. And when you say, hey, there's a need or our missionary or our youth or whatever, I want to do it, but I can't anymore. And I feel terrible. So after a bit of a conversation, a cup of tea, which I drank reluctantly because I'm not a tea drinker, and a cookie that I dunked into it to try and get some sugar in there to make it feel a little bit better, and that at the end of the whole conversation, she stepped back up to prayer again as she realized it was a word that was maybe never even spoken, or the enemy twisted it or covered it up, that someone spoke in her past that she had to kneel in order for God to hear her. Now, don't get me wrong, and that there's a time to kneel in honor and respect, in desperation. There's a time to get on your face, laying in the dirt before God, and that out of desperation. There's a time to raise your hands and shout it out. There's a time, God, I don't understand. There's a moment of that, but we are so Canadian. We got to get that Canadian out of us. We're so conservative and we're so prim and proper and just got on this and that. And God gave you emotion for a reason. Jesus got excited about things. Jesus got angry about things. Jesus stood up in the middle of things with passion inside of him. And that, don't be so Canadian. Be more Christian. Be more Christian than Canadian. And that as you come before the Lord, don't be afraid. And that to lay bare, listen to me. Let me just put it this way. God already knows what you're thinking. He already knows what you're feeling and everything else. So why do we got to hide it from him? Because if we're trying to hide it from him, we're not coming to him real. And we're not coming to him bold. I'm no longer a slave to fear. But I am a child of God. And the Word of God says he's adopted you. And the Word of God says you can come boldly before his throne room. And to give you a picture of that, if I had my daughter here, I'd ask her to do it. She's back serving in the kids' wing. I'd ask her to come and I'd sit here and say, hey, come jump on daddy's lap. And she'd come running up and she'd just plop like this onto my lap. And that has just that excitement and zeal of a kid. And that's what he wants you. Are you excited just to get close to daddy? Are you excited when you realize daddy's home? Daddy's here, right now. See, that excitement he wants to re-energize. He wants to bring back to you by opening your eyes, by unpacking your bag so you can be light and free with him. Not religious, not all of that. Next slide. So how do spiritual strongholds get built? We talked about this, if you could click it again. And then we talked about wounds. I can't express this enough. And I might camp on this a lot over this next little while because I'm telling you now, there's a lot here today that are carrying wounds. You buried them deep. You've held them. You've sugarcoated them. Some of you put flowers on top of them to make them look like, hey, they belong and it's okay. But they don't belong. Amen? Because wounds then click again and that they end up building a lies in our life that we either embrace or we begin to live out. A lie that I can't amount to anything. I'll never make it. I'm not good enough. Whatever. Or lies that we end up embracing. And we start believing. And we start twisting our lives towards that. Because I could never do this. So why bother? And we move in a different direction. Click again. And that from those lies, we end up embracing vows. Either directly or indirectly. We end up bracing vows. There's no way I'm going to let anyone hurt me like that again. There's no way I'm ever going to be put in a spot like that again. That was so bad. It hurts so much. There is absolutely no way. So when someone starts to come close, if there's even a hint of old spice, they're gone. They're kicked out to the curb. If there's any hint of the way they talk to us or whatever it might be, then we just push them. If that situation starts to feel just a little bit hard, gone. I'm not going down that hard road again. And we end up coming with this part, and we've got to understand every brick we put up to protect us from each other is a brick we're putting up before the Lord. And we're blocking him in our life as we block each other. God is saying, take the bricks down. I know you were hurt. And maybe we embraced a lie when we were a Christian growing up or somewhere in our walk that if we just become a Christian, everything is peachy creamy. Everything just works so great. I'm always going to have all the money in the world. I'm just going to be able to do whatever I want when I want and how I want. My body's just going to go right. I'm going to grow hair in the right places, not the wrong places. Then I don't have to do extra things about it. And everything's just going to work out great. But it's true. But that's not what he promised you. That was a lie. It's not what he promised. You will go through trials of many kinds. Your body won't always work in alignment with what you want. And that you won't always wake up in the morning, put your feet on the ground and say, oh, thank God it's Monday. This is the day he's made and I'm going to rejoice. Woo! I can't wait to do something today. You might not feel like that. Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. The Bible just tells us that the sons and daughters of God are those that are led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. In our old lives, we were all led by the flesh. We did whatever was going to be good for me. Whatever was going to work out for me right now, that's exactly what I was going to do. And if it doesn't work out good for me, then I'm not doing it. I'm not a part of it. I got to get a benefit. Listen, as we come to before the Lord, the Bible says your life is not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. It's not our will, not our way anymore. It's his. But I promise you, you can trust him. He says that I won't let anything overbearing and so weighing down that it's going to destroy your life. You might feel pressed, but you won't be crushed. You won't be broken. You won't be perplexed so far. Just grab a hold of me. And some of us, what we really need to do is we just got to come back to the foot of the cross, grab a hold of it again, let our pride down, and grab and cling to that cross and take a step back up again. And that, listen to me, whether you've been saved for 50 years or not, why stay in the same pattern that we're in? If it's leading to a dead end and we know it already, if our life was passionate for God at one point and now it's dull and boring for him, why keep going down that road? Definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing and expecting something different. God wants us free. And I'm here not just spouting out words to you in that, but Tony and I are going to start to share this fall from Scripture on how you can be free every day, how you can unpack your bags, how you can unlock anything that tries to attach itself to you. We're going to give you two magic keys. One's called love, and one's called forgiveness. And we're going to teach you how to use them, because Jesus said, I've come to set you free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So stay free. Stay free in him. And that when wounds come into lies we embrace, come into vows, that's how strongholds get broke. And that's why he wants us to be free, because when we hit in those strongholds, you know and I know, sometimes can be immovable. It can be overwhelming. We can't see anything else. Next slide. And that last week we talked about truth or snare. A lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true. A lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true. Listen to me. And that I've heard this scripture, and that where it talks about that curse, if it's left unattended, a curse over your life will go to three generations. Okay? But a blessing will go to 1,000 generations. So what's stronger? Just help me out here. What's stronger? A blessing. Okay, let's pause now that we know that and put it in perspective. We'll get to there in a sec. But let's stop at the curse for a moment. Do you know what those curses can be? Wounds, lies, vows. And when you leave them unattended, unintentionally, You're dumping that weight on your kids and your grandkids. Three generations. Now let's pause for a moment, just take a half a step back from your own life and your own scenarios and just look around you for, not in this room, please don't, and that, but you know, look at life around you, and can you not see that pattern? You see that pattern where grandfather struggled with alcohol and was an alcoholic, and that then all of a sudden his son, and that he, I vow never be like him. Have you ever heard those words? Yet what happens? They end up falling into the trap. And then in that part of that vow, I'll never be like them, and then realizing they are, and then all of a sudden their kids start falling in that trap too. You cannot resist the devil, and he will not flee from you unless you submit to God first. Amen? Too many people are trying religiously or away from God altogether and just on their own to try and to resist the enemy, thinking that if they just shout a little louder, if they just move a little faster, they can resist them and dodge death and dodge life, dodge the enemy and his things. But that's not how it works. The scripture is very clear that the only way it works is when you submit to God first. Now, how many times have you seen grandpa, a dad, and then that grandkid comes along and they've seen so much, someone comes in and speaks a word of blessing. And all of a sudden, in the middle of all this hurt and pain and all this stuff, their heart turns towards the Lord. They submit to him. Now they're able to resist. And they're not struggling with that same thing. Because whom the Son sets free is? So listen to me. The only reason that we're stuck in ruts is if we choose not to submit to God and surrender those wounds and surrender those things and take the walls down and allow him to have full entry. So let's flip over to the blessing side. What you're doing this morning, by the fact that you came and you took a step out of bed, you took a step out, whether your kids came with you because they're in another city or not, whether your grandkids and that are even born yet, the fact that you've taken this step of trying to keep your life before the Lord and allow him to lead you, you are setting them up for successes that they could even not even begin to imagine. Why? Because the Bible says, I will do exceedingly abundantly above all you could dream or imagine according to my richness, according to his deposit of goodness. So every time you unpack something, you are sending a blessing to 1,000 generations to come. I'm trying to stress this a little bit because I want you to know how much heaven is for you. Heaven is working for you not to sit back and sit and play in the mud and get stuck in the mud, but heaven is so for you to get up and to live free and to walk with boldness and to walk with authority, to be in step and rhythm with his grace so that your life makes a difference. Our theme for this year, and that word shine, coming out of Matthew, let your light shine before man so that they will see your good deeds and they will glorify the Lord. Now listen to me. Thousands of organizations, thousands of individuals all over this world and even in our own community are doing good things. But when they do a good thing, what happens? They turn around and say, why, Mr. Ken, you're a really good guy. Wow, I can't believe you did that. Good job. Or to that company, can you believe that company? They gave 10% of their earnings to the shelter to help dogs. I can't believe it. I love dogs. Oh, this is amazing. What a great company. When the Bible says that when you and I who are saved, and we begin to shine because of the greatness of who he is inside of us, people will stop and they'll say, wait a second here. Something's different about you. Not because your glasses are pulled down a little bit, and they actually look really cool, actually. But in that part, something's different about you. What's going on? Can you tell me? And then the moment we begin to tell them about Christ, the moment we begin to bring them to Christ, everything starts to shift around. Because how many know Christ makes all the difference? And that's where we light our light shine before man so that they will see our good deeds and they will glorify the Lord, because we're not going to keep the glory for ourselves. I'm just a jar of clay. I got lots of cracks in me. I used to think those cracks in me were defects and problems and blemishes that God, how could he ever love me? But now I realize all those cracks in me are just even more opportunity for me to leak the goodness of God everywhere, as they see that broken part and say, how on earth could that be filled? How on earth could he do that? How could he accomplish that? There's no way he could do it. I know him. His dyslexia, he can't even pronounce anything. How on earth could he do this? And it just begins to leak out of me. And people start to taste and see his goodness. If you're here today, and maybe you don't have as much of a broken past, that's okay. Because that means maybe you're just not leaking out everywhere so that people can see his light and his shining. But you're able, through God's grace, for him to take and pour just a whole dump load over someone of his goodness. Because there's no stickiness, there's no baggage, and there's no cracks. There's lots more to fill in there. But I'm just going to say, either way, God says that wellspring of life, if we stay close to him, it'll never run dry. So even if you got cracks in you, don't worry about it. Let it leak out everywhere. Let it make a difference. Because he'll keep filling you to overflowing. Or if you've been saved for a long time and you don't have as many cracks as in your mind and your thought around your jar, it's okay. Let them just like empty you out over top of situations in life through wisdom and guidance in your life. And just you feel like, oh my goodness, I'm drained now. It's okay. Get drained. Take a half a step back and you'll find that all of a sudden it's full again. Wait a second here. It's like that widow. When the man of God came and said, hey, she says, oh, I'm about to eat my last bread and we're going to die, my son and I. And he says, hey, go all over the village and collect every jar you can collect. I'm telling you, if they would have collected another 1,500 jars, God would have filled all 1,500. They grabbed every jar that they could grab that was empty. They brought it, and that little bit of oil they had left never run dry. They just kept pouring it and pouring it and pouring it, and they had so much supply left over. The fishes and the loaves. See, how big is that abundance of God? Can he take care of you? Well, most of us say, yeah, I think so. But can he take care of you when there's a crisis in another part of the world where hurricanes and persecution and troubles are happening? Can he take care of little old you in Owen Sound? I mean, like, come on, he's pretty busy over here, and he's got to have a foot and a hand in the mix of doing something here. How could he be thinking about you? Listen, we've got to stop thinking about God in the mindset of you and me. We are created beings. We were just dust and dirt. He is God. He is everywhere at every moment. He understands and knows everything before it even happens, before you were even born. He said he knew you and he knit you together in your mother's womb. He knew everything about you. He had plans for you. Before the foundations of this world, he had a plan for your life to give you hope and a future. All the good things you're meant to do in your life, God's already got them planned out. And he's just waiting for you to come and ask him. Truth or snare? A lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true. It's time to let go of some of the lies. It's come back to the simplicity of things and embrace the truth, because it's only the truth that will set you free. It's not the pat on the back. It's not getting what we want, but it's coming back to that place of embracing the truth. Next slide. So when I come back from Mexico, and that I'm going to share this last part of an attitude of gratitude. There's something about a heart that is thankful that changes everything. Everything. Let me pause for a moment. Most here, you've either had kids or you're having kids now, right? We love our kids. Might not like what they do all the time. Might want to wring them out sometimes. But we love our kids, don't we? That mother's heart towards a child. Like, you'll see even someone that's on death row, okay? And they've long rap sheet of terrible things that they've done. And yet mom will stand outside saying, "My son's innocent and he's a good boy. Nothing wrong with him. Never did any of it." He didn't mean any of it anyways. To right to the end, it's that mother's heart, it's that father's heart that's inside of us. But sometimes it's pretty hard when we feel they're not grateful. Sometimes it can be hard to go that extra mile when you feel like your boss doesn't appreciate you. Sometimes it's hard to swallow that hurt or those words or those things when that person says sorry for the 98th time over the similar thing again and again and again. And we are so conditioned in our lives by the circumstances around us, instead of finding that peace inside and allowing that peace to change everything. You heard me say it 100 times, and I'll probably say it 1,000 more times in the future. There is absolutely no one that can offend me. And there is no one that can offend you. You choose to take that offense on. You choose to give them that much power in your life to declare something into your life, around your life, and over it that alters everything. And the last I've heard, the only one that we should give that much authority and power to is one that we can trust, and that is Jesus. So, attitude of gratitude. We're going to talk a little bit about that. How to get that thankful heart back. Don't we teach our kids that? Very first thing we teach our little ones, right? Little ones. As soon as they're ready to say something, we're like, and that, please use your manners. What do you say? Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, that's good, Danny. Good practice there, Danny. You're a good student. I appreciate that. You know, or if someone gives us something and they do something, we say, and they say, you know, thank you, and you're welcome. Or, hey, and that, would you forgive me? I'm so sorry.
I forgive you.
Right? We teach them these little minor things that are major life changers. But why is it when we get older and we're supposed to be wiser, all of that goes out the door and we forget our attitude of gratitude? God doesn't owe us anything. What Jesus did on this cross was everything. Everything. I don't need another thing from God than what he's given me already, and I can be overwhelmed and victorious for the rest of my days. But I'm so glad that God is not like, you know, some Thor or Superman or some hero that now has gone off to another planet or some other place to do something, and we got to kind of fend for ourselves. No, but every second of the day, Holy Spirit is there guiding me, leading me, loving on me, helping me in that, because I might have the Word of God, but how many know you can read it till you're blue in the face, but if you don't have Holy Spirit's help to illuminate it to you, you can be like confused, and I don't get it, why is this and this, and I don't understand this, but as Holy Spirit illuminates it to you, he leads you and he guides you into all the goodness of God. God has not passed you by. God has not passed you by. You are not a write-off to God. If you are breathing, that means God's interested in you, and he's got a plan for you, and there's still things for you to do. Amen? If you really want to go home to him, get done everything he wants done as fast as you can, and then he'll take you home. Okay? But if not, and that, understand, there's still things he wants you to do. He wants to do in your life and through your life. Attitude of gratitude. And that when we come back from Mexico, we're going to share that with you. And just how to keep that in our life. How to walk in that in authority. How to rearrange so that we can stop the things that the enemy brings in our life from robbing, killing, and destroying. That's what he does all the time. There is no truth in him. He is the father of lies. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life and life more abundant. And I don't know about you, but it's time to have more life in our life, right? It's time to bring that spring back in our step again, that excitement back again, that my King is alive, and he is alive, and he is well, and he is in control. Amen? And now let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we opened our service, Lord, with a song, I have decided to follow Jesus. God, Lord, I pray if there's anyone in the sound of my voice here today that maybe they have not made that commitment. Oh, they maybe have gone to church or they've done things or whatever, but they haven't paused and surrendered to you and opened their heart up and actually sought you. For those that seek, they will find. Stand at the door and knock, the door will be open. If you ask, you shall receive. God, Lord, I pray, if you're illuminated to anyone right now in the sound of my voice, Lord, as we come before you and we pray, God, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that they will begin to surrender their heart, asking you not only to forgive them, Lord, but to empower them to be all that you created them to be. Help them to see life differently. Rebirth them, Lord, in the Spirit, so they can see things clearly. They can see it from your perspective. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. You are so for us. You don't just kick us off, start us off, and then leave us, but every step of the way you walk with us. Thank you for being here right now. Thank you for being here right now. And so, Lord, I pray for anyone that's in the sound of my voice that hasn't, today would be their day, that they would surrender and they would come on this quest, on this adventure to get to know you and your word, to get to know the plans you have for them and to get to know how to walk, how to move, how to breathe in this life right here so that they too can pull the kingdom of heaven and that from heaven down to earth and see the impact in the lives around them so that everyone see that you are good. God, I just thank you for that right now. I just release that over each and every one that would embrace that. For those, Lord, that are here today, and Lord, life has just brought a dullness in their life. They've lost their spring in their step. Lord, they've lost that zeal and that excitement. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. That's the challenge you bring to us, God. But Lord, life has a way of wearing us down. And God, Lord, I pray right now, God, Lord, that you would come into our lives and help us realize, God, Lord, that sometimes we think it's the life wearing us down, but sometimes it's you throwing us into the stream and, Lord, rolling us around like a rock in that stream so many times until all those rough edges are smoothed out. And then young David shows up, picks up that little smooth stone, and he wins the battle. God, Lord, our lives, Lord, Lord, are like those rocks in your hand, Lord. Lord, that you just may you just do what you need to do to take less of fill, chisel away the areas of my life that hold me back. Chisel away those areas that I keep getting tripped up on or I gouge into people every time I try to make relationships. God, take away that stuff so that, Lord, I'd be smooth so I can accomplish all that you want and there's nothing the enemy throws at me will stick. Oh, God, thank you that no weapon formed against shall prosper. So I'm not going to give the enemy a foothold. I'm not going to give him an opportunity to wreak havoc in my life and that I'm going to allow you to chisel all those edges away so that I can be free. And so, God, I just thank you for that right now. I thank you for what you're speaking and releasing, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're not finished with us, but we're on a journey together. and that together we are going to become mature, lacking nothing, Lord, in you. And that why? Because we consider pure joy when we go through trials of many kinds. We consider pure joy and that to be in service with you, pure joy to be a part of your bride and your church. God, Lord, and we just thank you, God, for what you are doing, because you are maturing us so that we would lack nothing and that we'd be able to stand against the schemes of the enemy, and not only stand, but overcome them all. And so, God, I just bless each and every one right now, overwhelm them with your goodness, reminding them of just who they are. They are a child of the most living God that is alive and well, that sits on the throne, that is King of kings and Lord of lords, and that can do anything. And so, Lord, we just give you praise for that right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.